If you, like me, spend way too much time on X, you might have come across quite a lot of posts that try to convince you that you can build amazing workflows or AI agents that can automate your entire life. At least that's how it feels sometimes to me. And you might see those screenshots of complex N8N workflows. And by the way, N8N is an amazing tool. There is a reason why I cover it in a huge update I released for my generative AI and ChatGPT course. And there I show you how you can build workflows that use AI and how you can build AI agents that use tools and RAG and CAG workflows with N8N, but also with code. That's all in there, and lots of other great stuff as well. For example, an in-depth guide on prompt engineering, how to run open large language models locally on your system. I also got a separate course on that if you want to dive even deeper. But I will also be honest here. I personally haven't found the use case for building that one super AI agent that puts entire aspects of my life on autopilot. And it's not just a use case. I mean, there are things I'd rather not do in my life. AI just is not capable enough for that. I can't build such an agent yet. It's also not reliable enough for that. Now, that does not mean that you can't build amazing automations that use AI, but that one super agent, I'm not so sure about that. And I'm not sure if we'll get to that agent anytime soon. Agents are a buzzword, and yeah, we'll see where we get there. That does not mean that you can't use generative AI today in very helpful and useful ways. And I want to share some of the things I do on a day-to-day basis, mostly in my business context, with generative AI. And these are all things you can do with a relatively low effort, and you get a lot of use and value out of these things. For example, of course, since I'm a developer, since I'm writing code, and yes, I'm still writing code on my own, but since I'm a developer, I'm of course also using AI for that, and actually in different ways. Of course, I'm using GitHub Copilot or Cursor. I kind of switch between these two every couple of months. Now I'm back into using Cursor more. Before that, I used VS Code quite a bit more, but I'm using tools like that. I like the AI-powered suggestions and completions you're getting, though they can also be a bit too aggressive, especially in Cursor at the moment. For me, that's how it feels like. But they can also be really, really valuable and speed you up, especially also the next edit suggestion thing, where it tries to predict which edit you're likely going to make next. That can be really useful because that allows you to quickly refactor code or make changes in general really quick because you change one thing and then it often automatically predicts that you probably also want to change this part of your code and that part, and that's really amazing. I also use the chat or agent feature to have it write bigger chunks of code for me, but at least in my experience, it's not a good idea to make that chunk too big. And I'm definitely not into vibe coding, as I shared in a different episode and article, so I don't let AI write entire apps for me. But using it for individual features and that auto suggestion, that smart suggestion, these AI-powered suggestions, I should say, that's really, really useful, and that's something I use it for. And you probably also do, I would guess. I would think most developers use some kind of AI assistance on a day-to-day basis. I might be wrong, though. And that's, by the way, also something I cover in my AI for Developers course, where I share all these little tips and tricks and how you can efficiently use AI as a developer to boost your productivity. Now, that's not the only way of using AI as a developer, though. What I really also like doing with AI is just open up ChatGPT or Google Gemini. I'm personally more of a Gemini person at the moment because I really like Gemini 2.5. It's an amazing model, in my opinion. And I use that for researching stuff, for asking stuff, for challenging thoughts I have about how to structure a program or how to tackle a certain problem. I really like having discussions there, and I know I could have them inside of Cursor, for example, too, but there I would be paying or I would be using up credits for these premium requests. So that's why I do it outside of Cursor in Gemini. And that's something I actually do quite a lot. I then still write the code or most parts of the code on my own, but I back up my technical decisions with a discussion with the AI, which does not mean that I blindly use whatever it gives me. I just challenge my way of approaching a certain problem. I want to get another perspective on that problem. And that's something that's especially useful to me because I'm a solo developer. I'm not working in a team. But of course, my ideas or my ways of solving certain problems aren't always the best ones. So having someone to discuss problems and challenge thoughts, and in that case, it's an AI, I guess, that can really be useful. So that's also something I'm doing quite a bit, and I can recommend doing that. Now, sticking to ChatGPT or Google Gemini, what I also really like doing is perform deep research. I'm personally mostly using the Gemini deep research, but of course, ChatGPT also has a deep research mode. Grok has one, and other AI chatbots probably also do. And deep research is really an amazing feature. I use it all the time because you can just describe what you want to perform some research on. For example, I might have some idea for a new video or article, and I might want to do some research because I want to back up my videos and articles with actual facts. So of course I can do that manually, but I can also use the deep research mode of ChatGPT or Google Gemini, describe what I plan to do, what my thoughts are, and what I want to get information on. And then I send it off, lean back, or do some other work, and come back once it's done and read that article that was prepared for me. Now, I will say that especially for Google Gemini right now, these articles tend to be quite long and a bit chatty. They could be a bit shorter for my taste, but they're still full of interesting findings, insights, and useful information. And of course, they're backed up by actual sources, links to those sources, so that you can double check whether what you're reading there is really true. And especially for numbers or hard facts, that is something I do because AI can, of course, hallucinate, and deep research is no exception there. And that is in general something to be aware of, as you probably know. But deep research is amazing. It can save you a lot of time because it does all the research for you, and you can then still do your own research on top of that if you're missing certain aspects. And I do that from time to time, but often I get back reports that are already quite comprehensive and that are already quite helpful. Something else I regularly do with generative AI, and here I typically use large language models that are open and that I can run on my machine, on my MacBook, with help of LM Studio or Ollama. And I also got a course on that. I do use those locally running open large language models quite a bit for content generation or enhancement, I should probably say, and for utility tasks like summarizing some text or translating some text. Because of course, you can do all that with ChatGPT, with Google Gemini, and you name it. But of course, you have to pay for that. But okay, I got a subscription anyway, so that's not my main argument, but it can be a argument. But you're also, of course, always sending all your data to OpenAI, to Google, and to be very honest, I don't care too much about data privacy. I'm not that typical German, I guess. But if I don't have to, I don't really need to send everybody all my data all the time. And especially if I'm using generative AI on some documents or data that's a bit more private, something like financial statements or stuff like that, I really don't want to send that data off to OpenAI, Google, or any other major provider. So that's where these locally running models are really amazing. Because guess what? When it comes to tasks like summarizing text, extracting information, also from images, for example, the Gemma models by Google can do that. When it comes to tasks like this, they're awesome. They're really great at that. You don't need the latest ChatGPT model for that. These open models are really capable and really useful for tasks like this. They're also useful for example, enhancing content I want to release. So for example, if I'm writing an article, I might write that article based on a video I created, based on this video, for example. So I create my captions for this video with a captioning service I'll soon release to the public. So with my own captioning service, I create these captions with that service. Then I take these captions and I might feeds them into an AI, into a large language model, preferably also a locally running one because they're amazing at that task. I also give that model some examples for past posts I wrote, and then I'll let it generate a new post based on my captions and those example posts I wrote in the past. Now, the result I get is most of the time not something I would publish as is, but of course I can tweak it myself, and that's what I do. So I use it as a solid draft to then enhance it myself, to change the way certain things are written, to maybe remove certain things, to add some aspects that might be missing because I also maybe didn't mention them in a video or it didn't pick it up correctly or in the way I wanted it to. I might add images. So I don't press publish and take that AI-generated article as is and leave it be, but I do use it as a solid foundation. And then, of course, you can also use it to repurpose it for LinkedIn X if you want to do that. So that's something you can do with generative AI. And I'll soon also release another product that can help with that. But yeah, it'll still take a couple of weeks until that's ready. But that's also something I'm doing quite a bit. The same for translation. These locally running open models can do solid translation work for you if you wanna translate your content into some other languages. And then there's one last thing I wanna share here. In my last live stream, I actually built a RAG system with open software, with open models, using the Gemma models with OLAMA, the Quadrant, a vector database which you can run on your system, and I built a RAG system there from the ground up. You can watch that video for free if you want to. It's also linked below. And I actually use workflows or setups like that on some internal data or for some internal projects and some internal software, you could say. So I have set up systems that are kind of similar to what we built there for problems I need to solve in my business. So for example, if I want to extract information from receipts, invoices, financial data that gathered up over all these years of running this business, I can of course search for the right invoice manually, but what I am doing, for example, or what I'm building is a system where I have my own locally running chatbot and where I use RAG to basically index all the documents that could potentially be interesting. And then I can chat with that chatbot and dynamically load the relevant documents into the context for the question I'm asking and have the AI answer my question with that extra context being available to it. That's the idea behind RAG in the end. That's what I built in my live stream. And that's also something I cover in that generative AI course I updated. And that's therefore also something I'm doing, not every day, to be honest, but it is something I find very valuable. And it is something that can make a lot of sense depending on your use case, of course. And that's now already a super long video. I hope it was helpful. I hope it gave you some ideas on how you could maybe also leverage AI, or maybe you're also using large language models in a totally different way. Maybe you're using such a complex N8N workflow and you're doing that with great success. I really want to learn about that. So please, below the video, definitely let me know how you're using large language models, what you think of the ways I'm using it, and yeah, let me know your thoughts and maybe see you in future episodes. Bye.